Rover app. You can hear all about Thane's comb over non-stop with Thane and Dunk 24/7. Rover, Channel 51. Download now. R-O-V-A.
The Rock.
Right now, though, sexual fetuses. Fetuses? These are weird ones. Are they all sexual or just fetishes?
In nature, yes, they are. So if you've got little ears, then, you know, turn it down or change the subject.
Mm.
You know, I'll leave the parenting up to you guys, but you've been warned. We have talked foot fetishes before, and we did a great deal, quite in depth. I even created, NZ Hot Feet for you guys to enjoy on a day-to-day basis.
New Zealand's premier amateur foot Instagram account.
Thank you, Duncan. It means a lot.
Good quality. Love the content. Never like much because I don't want to get caught liking it by somebody else. There's a lot of people watching from afar.
There are. I know there are. All right. Here's three quick fetishes that are slowly becoming mainstream.
Hang on. I've read them, mate. They're not becoming mainstream. Okay. These are weird AF.
Depends what stream you're swimming in.
Oh, mate, there's a bugger of water in your stream if you're into this.
Here's fetish number three.
Okay.
It's called climacophilia, and that's arousal to falling down stairs.
So you get the top of, let's say the stairs go down to Eden Park after an All Blacks match, and you're like, Oh, imagine it.
It's a rare sexual paraphilia or fetish in which the subject experiences erotic gratification when falling downstairs. There hasn't been a lot wide body of research, but if you're feeling a little something downstairs because you are falling downstairs, this is what you could be into.
I just fell down a 12-step.
Of course you did.
We want to talk to you if you're seriously into this. We will change your voice for the radio.
Absolutely. Exhibitionism, the arousal to displaying one's sexual organs in public. This happens a lot, especially when intoxicated.
Yeah, I reckon that's different. I reckon that's quite the same thing. Some people like I've got my mate Naked Daz, who likes just getting naked when he's drunk. But if you are full-blown, like, going out of your way to get nude in places, and that's your jam, we would also like to talk to you.
And erectotomophilia is arousal of amputees. It's attracted to amputees because they like the way they look or the way they may view the amputee's stump or as a phallic object, which can be used for sexual pleasure. These people enjoy the idea of dominating the amputee during couples play, and they may also become aroused when the thought of having to take care of an amputee. So if that's you, again, we'd love
a nub-nub. Jump in the tub.
Please, help yourself.
Thane and Dunks drive home.
The Rock.
Would you rather? I haven't done this for ages. It's an age-old game. Someone sent us through a link to some of them on Reddit at the moment. So I thought I'd chuck it up for the team again.
Nice.
And you feel free to play on 0800 Rock Phone as well. We'll have a chat to you. First one. Would you rather fight a dog-sized cockroach with shark teeth or just a plain old shark in their domain, in the water?
Now, I see some surfies, like, punch them in the head and then they kind of scarper with the sharks in their own domain. Instantly.
If you miss the punch, though.
Yeah.
Game over.
But then you're talking about a life-size.
Life-size cockroach, like a human-size.
They're ugly.
A dog-size cockroach. It's got to be fast. A dog can smash you up and they don't have the mouth of a shark.
I want to try the dog-size cockroach. Because
where are you going to kick it? Just
straight into its eyes. They've got rather large eyes. You have to go for its soft bits. Turn them over onto their backs.
I'm going to go shark in the water because I've seen plenty of people beat them before. I'm taking the odds. I'm going to try and poke them in the eye or bang them on the snout.
But you're in water, mate. They're going to win every single time.
Oh, not every single time. McFanning? Well, I don't know if that shark was attacking McFanning or it just got caught up in his leg rope.
Okay.
Whatever you call it, ankle rope.
Give me another one.
Yeah. Next one. Would you rather be the guy who flips the switch during executions or have Justin Bieber's back catalogue playing your head for the rest of your life?
Executions. I could flick any day or night. Not a problem.
You would quite happily kill people.
Absolutely.
Instead of having Justin Bieber.
Yeah.
Hello, The Rock. Who's this?
Hey, it's Brody.
Brody, mate. What one are you jumping in on?
Can I do both?
Yes. What would you write? The cockroach shark teeth one?
Yeah, I'll take the dog-sized cockroach.
Oh, you got to take that on. Yeah. What's your approach to beat a dog-sized?
You got to flip them. But they've got no they're not predators, they're just scabs, so they got no weapons.
Okay. Why must you've got on a hungry day?
They'll eat anything, I get that, but yeah, you're right. The key to flip them over, find a soft button. Yeah, yeah!
Yeah.
Flip them. Yeah. And are you going to be the executioner? The guy hitting the switch at an execution, or are you going to listen to Justin Bieber's back catalogue in your head for the rest of your life?
Yeah, give me the switch on Justin Bieber.
Oh, on Justin Bieber.
Yeah, give me the switch.
Could you flick the switch on any person any age?
What happens if you knew the backstories to the people that are then getting executed? Because they don't get it right every time. And if you were like, oh, I know this guy's innocent, I'm still going to have to do it.
Are we getting paid?
Yeah, normal wage. It's 50 grand a year to be the executioner.
Great. This is something I would ask as well. How about this?
Give me the switch.
You're giving the switch? The person is foregoing five.
Oh, I've got a kid that old.
Yeah, I know, same.
What's he done?
Oh, God, it's going to have to be
in
bad.
The future,
yeah.
The person's like the next, unfortunately, your
next
you're,
Ted Bundy or something.
Next Ted, you, we know we've profiled he's going to be a serial killer, but you've got to get him early.
He hasn't done anything yet.
No, it's his fourth birthday going for, it's his fifth birthday.
Yeah, hit him.
Hit him! Blow out your candles, mate. It's time to get executed.
Wow.
All right, okay. Well, that's how it works.
Don't mess with Brody.
What a ride, mate. Yeah. I'm with him. I'm gonna go there? Yeah, I don't know. Nah, Justin Bieber can eat it.
Yeah.
Amazing. Righto, Brody, hold there. We'll get your prize, all right? That was fun.
Wait, thank you.
That was, we really went in depth here. I love it.
Oh, damn. He's needed to execute a 4-year-old. Things really escalated back there. You better lay low for a while, Brody.
Yeah.
The Rock Drive Home with Thane and Dunk.
It's time for the average New Zealander to celebrate the good-looking ones. If you see someone hot in traffic, let us know. What they're driving, what they look like, where they are, and a cheesy pickup line. We'll add it to today's human traffic report. You might just hook up.
Someone let us know if that bloody MyFM drive show is still trying to rip this thing off. Gave him a good old rinse, and I see it's been put up on the Rock website of us just realising that they've tried to steal our segment that we've been doing for a long time.
Bloody cheeky.
Oh, I just thought of it. And it happened to be the same day the Rock was playing in the toilets as well. So that's where I reckon they got it from, mate.
Yeah. We are the original in-car hookup radio station. All right.
Yeah. Should we get into it? 3520, the keyword is human. Make sure you chuck a cheesy pickup line in there and then we'll bang it on the report.
Cute blonde chick in a dark green Holden Commodore in the North Shore or on the North Shore. When I saw you, I lost my tongue. Can I have yours to put in my mouth?
Hell's it. Human traffic.
To the hottie driving the Swanson Transport truck number 49 out to the airport. Pick me up and I'll honk your horn any day.
Ooh, human traffic.
To the little cutie in the digger down Matangi Road. Hope you can work my joystick as well as you can do those machines.
Human traffic.
The hot guy in the red four-wheel drive driving to Napier. You can get stuck up my mud track.
Brum, brum. Ooh, human traffic.
And to the manly man with the bald head in East Tamaki driving the dark-coloured Ford Ranger. You can check my undercarriage out any day. And that's it?
Yeah, no, that's all we've got. Well, there's a couple more there, but that's all we've got time for. We've got news and sports shortly and a...
Yes?
Oh, they can do that.
And if you heard yourself on human traffic, text us on 3520. We can hook you up with the person that told us how hot you were.
I got one of these too.
The Rock Drive Home with Thane and Dunk.
Ooh,
Playing Lane. Watch. Playing Lane. Watch. It's the latest on Malaysia Airlines Flight 370.
So if you just tuned into this radio show, welcome. It's a bloody good one and we hope you stick around. We'll bring you up to speed really briefly. For some weird reason, we got in touch with an Aussie bloke who's given us a heads up on where we think MH370 is now. That's the missing Malaysian Airlines flight. And well, that has led us to crowdfund $38,000. Now punching through all the red tape to take the radio show to Mauritius to look for this bloody thing. And there's a small thing about a reward which we're going to get to. So producer Jeremy's been battling away through the red tape and behind the scenes every day.
You're doing a very good job.
We look down phones in the studio and it's always like Mauritius or Malaysia. Like he's making all these outrageously expensive international phone calls.
Mm.
Not making a lot of progress until last night. I get a message from you and so did Thane on our little Facebook group thing and you had... made a big call.
Well, basically, the whole thing is being stalled by the fact that there is a $90 million
$90 million US dollar reward, but you have to register for it, right? Mm. You can't just find the plane.
Yes.
And no one's been able to help me. I've talked to, I reckon, 40 people in Malaysia.
Mm.
And so I Googled how to contact the Prime Minister of Malaysia. And then I found the Prime Minister of Malaysia's office. I called them. They couldn't really understand what I was saying. Fair enough, they're Malaysian.
Right.
They said, send me an email. Okay. So I sent an email to the Prime Minister of Malaysia.
Great.
And you may laugh because I'm giggling right now, but you know what I reckon it's done? Because of the developments, it's got the ball rolling.
Then, tell us about the ball rolling.
Then today, I've been put in touch with the Chief Inspector of Malaysian Air Accident Investigation Bureau. He has confirmed that the Ocean Infinity, which is the boat that's looking for MH370 at the moment, is still under an exclusive contract to find the plane and receive the reward. They've been granted an extension of a few days.
That's because they had some time off in the middle. Yeah. You remember
they had 90 days,
in.
Right?
They had sounded 90 like days. They'd found some treasure or something like that, and they right. went back into Northern Territories of Australia to dock.
However, the contract is going to run out apparently in the next few days. And when it does, the guy that I talked to, the Chief Inspector, blah, 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 said they are going to be able to sign a new contract with a new party to search for the missing plane
yes.
and look for the reward.
And that's us, guys.
Insert that's your us. Old mates from a little Batla Kiwi radio station getting the job done.
And he's also given me the details of the Director General of Civil Aviation, who is the guy that can get the ball rolling on the contract.
Here's the thing, we might have to take a quick trip to Malaysia and sign that agreement off.
Oh, of course we will.
Yeah. Now, if we get that signed off, that means the trip is on.
That's
and
it.
We can honour any agreement we kind of, yeah. you know, advertise during our fundraising on our Give a Little page.
And if we find the plane, there will be a reward rather than, you know, nothing happening.
Yeah.
Imagine that. Oh, sorry, guys. Found the plane. No
that was
reward.
The biggest thing that our legal department were like.
Yeah, I really did. Hung up on it. Yeah, which is fair enough.
So this is a major development, guys.
Yeah, so nothing but good news. And this is there's a lot of air in our sail again, guys. Mm. We're chugging along and hopefully we can make this thing happen now. There's going to be contracts and stuff getting signed. Exciting.
You know what I love? The fact that so many people worldwide would have heard of Ocean Infinity, the boat that's looking for MH370.
Oh, yeah.
Now they're going to hear about Thane and Dunk, the radio show that's looking for MH370.
Oh, it's so
I can't
good.
Wait.
And the world may laugh at us, but if we come up trumps, we'll just be another Kiwi couple that could.
Totally. Absolutely.
You guys a couple.
I was in my head, I was thinking of Siri Ben Hillary, and I was like, he had a bloke with him. But Tenzin was a Nepalese bloke, wasn't he?
Yeah, that's right.
So just a couple of tubby radio announcers that could. Mm. Chugga chugga.
Thane and Dunk. Woo!
And a good friend of ours has hit a TV show. It's going to be one of the stars of it, right? Dancing with the Stars.
So exciting.
Oh, my God.
I will not miss an episode.
I'm going to be glued to it. Now, this is a show that would normally... I'd never watch this show.
I'll probably punch him for the first one, and then you just see bits and pieces, you know, go through in the media when someone blows out. I think Bryce did the same thing this morning.
Weird thing is, I get weird anxiety and nerves for the people on the show. It's like going watching a circus and someone's going to fall off, or Speedway, there could be an accident type thing.
Could not pay me enough money to do the show.
No.
Wouldn't do it.
All right, so should we play what went down in breakfast this morning?
Yeah, if you missed it, 20 past 8 this morning here, how it was, here's how it was all revealed.
Come and get a drum roll.
The next contestant of Dancing with the Stars New Zealand is...
Roger Farrelly! Congratulations, Rob, you've made it! Rog!
Who did you think it was, Rog?
Bryson Mulls.
Yeah.
Alluding to the fact that it was Richie McCaw.
Yeah.
You guys have been telling me, and I couldn't say, I couldn't tell anyone, you guys have been saying it was Richie McCaw.
Yeah,
well, it basically is. You're like a squintier Richie McCaw.
So good. It's still a classic stitch-up when it's actually happening. Because I think there's a little part of him that was like, is this for real? Yeah. When's the punchline? No punchline. Going through the big dog.
Hello.
Roger Farrelly, it's Thane and Dunk from The Rock. How are you?
It is Thane and Dunk. Afternoon, how are you?
Woof, 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 woof. How's the big dog, mate? Big day for the big dog.
Just sort of struggling through the storm, Thane and Dunk. And you know those days where you think, oh, well, let's do the show and probably head home for a bit of a a quiet afternoon, and then the extravaganza happens. Diane Henwood turns up, Sharon Casey turns up, John McDonald, producer of Dancing with the Stars, turned up. I'm thinking that we're announcing or Richie McCaw.
Yeah, you got a real live All Black coming in the studio if the heavy hitters are here.
You definitely did not see this one coming, and I can see a bloody classic stitch up a long way away, and this, your hands were shaking.
The boys were saying, Miles and Bryce were saying, look, it's a captain of New Zealand or a former captain of New Zealand, and that's why we're announcing it. So I'm thinking, well, it's got to be Richie McCaw, doesn't it, really? Yeah. That's the obvious. That's the heavy hitter you'd want on the show. And then it's announced that it's me. So, and then I'm whisked away, so I've just been filming promos. I've been filming still shots. I've met my partner. I've got my dancing shoes. I mean, lots to talk about tomorrow. Well, a whirlwind day, because basically I had to do today what I'm guessing some of the other contestants have had weeks to do.
Oh, man. Who's your partner? Can you tell us who your partner is?
No, can't say. They're not releasing any of the partners.
Okay.
So I only met her today. Going through a few steps. It's going to be hard.
Yeah, you got to take this seriously, right? This is not just a... You're not going
to... You kind of have to. Otherwise, you would look like a chump.
Yeah, right.
I think you could sort of think I'll take the easy attitude into it, but... You just can't. You would actually look like an absolute bozo, I think.
You would have been to a few weddings in your time, boys, and you know when someone's practiced a first dance, it looks amazing when they haven't.
Looks amazing.
Jeez, that's awkward.
Yeah. I don't want to be that guy imitating the dirty dancing moves, dropping my partner on her head.
No. How embarrassing. This is live television. This is live TV. This is crazy.
Saying you're right, it hasn't. I mean, how could it sink in? It's weeks away. I've watched the show. We've watched the show. You never thought I'd be on the show.
I heard rumours, and you can confirm or deny if you know, but apparently the minimum amount of hours a week for a contestant on that show in the past has been 15 hours training a week.
That's true, Dunga. I did, because I got my contract today, which I was kind of half forced to sign. And 15 hours minimum. That's just starting. And I've heard, because Shane Cameron did this, and I didn't even know I was on the show, and Shane Cameron made top three, top four. Near the end, he was doing, I believe, 50 hours a week dancing.
Oh, my gosh.
This is quite a stitch-up.
You're going to be shredded, mate. Man.
What's the reaction from the wife and kids?
Shock, Shane, absolute shock. Yeah, I mean, it's all out today, and... the oldest daughter hasn't even come home, so that's how badly it went, I think, at her school.
Let's be honest, she's not going to come home.
She's gone now.
No, let's be honest, I don't know where she is, let's be honest. She's 17 now, who knows?
If I was her, that would be me, mate. I'm out. I'm going to find a flat. I'll be going down and look on the countdown message board looking for the first one there. Do you know, the most amazing thing about this, and you should take this as a compliment, Rog, out of everything that's happened today, is you're second in line to Richie McCaw.
Yeah.
Hadn't thought of it like that.
He said no, and then they went next best. Kane Williamson, like you mentioned in the this morning's in the IPL, but then it was Rog.
Yeah. Look, you know, availability's got a lot to do with it, and as Diane Wood said, I am a bit like Richie McCaw, just the squinty version that's never been to the gym.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
You're going to get a lot of stick for this, but just know you've got friends in the drive show, and we're going to be supporting all the way.
Yeah. I'm going to need you guys, and I'm going to need the listeners of Fane and Dunk as well. I really appreciate it.
Mate, well, there's a million rock listeners behind you. No dramas.
Good on you, boys. Thanks for your call. I'll dance my way out of here.
Go, twinkle toes.
Oi, foxtrot your way off this phone call, big dog. Get the bloody grapevine out of here.
Thanks, mate.
Fane and Dunk. The Rock.
Come on, come on, come on, come on, and teach me Tony.
Please welcome the very talented Tony Lyle.
Speaking of very, am I on the right microphone?
Yeah.
The talent never ends. What's going on?
I've just been given by you, to me, a flyer for your show, Tony Lyle, Just Kidding, at the New Zealand International Comedy Festival.
It's true, I gave you a flyer as I walked in.
Have a look at that, Thane, just on the bottom there. So, as seen on the project and...
And heard on the rock.
All right, what are we learning about today?
Hey, what we're going to learn today is a bit of a jump from what we've been talking about so far.
Mm-hmm.
What do you know about JFK?
I know that it would have been a tremendously difficult job in the morgue to make him look normal for his casket.
Yeah, so it's along those lines. So very famous footage we've all seen it. He's driving along through as a Houston, gets shot in the head. His head essentially explodes. It's terrifying stuff. But the car he was in after the assassination, they cleaned it up. And put it back in service with the Secret Service, and it stayed in service for another 16 years.
That's crazy, isn't it?
Wow, that is a great fact.
Yeah, 16 years of carrying around other presidents. So there could have been other presidents in the very same car that he was shot in.
Sitting on his brain matter. I feel like you wouldn't be able to clean it all up.
Not all the DNA and all the nicks and crannies.
Oh, mate, I've eaten a bag of Twisties in my car and I can't even clean it all up, let alone an exploded human head.
It's true.
It's hard to get in those nooks and crannies.
A 303 can make a real mess of a human cranium.
And I can't believe that his wife, what was her name?
Jackie Onassis.
Onassis. She flew back from Houston through all the way to wherever it was, Washington, in a private jet with the body, still with the blood all over
it. Yeah, she got out of the plane and did other interviews still in the same dress.
With blood all over her outfit, in the same outfit.
Oh, man. You think the media are hungry now?
That's shock for you.
Wow.
Yeah, unbelievable. Used to drive around in the old man's hearse, just carried dead people around in it, didn't it? Body parts, not whole
body
people.
Body parts, that type of thing.
Body parts?
His old man owned a furnace.
A crematorium.
God, yeah, you want to say crematorium, not just like a fire in his backyard.
You got to get rid of.
But I've seen everything from feet to hands to fingers.
This is nuts.
They'd have overflow at the main hospitals and they couldn't, their own furnace was in use, they called on him and he would just wait outside the operating room and then there it is.
Ever have any rings on the fingers still?
No, all that will be gone.
All the good stuff's taken.
Straight in the pockets of the nurses back in the old days, eh?
Yeah. Hey, you got to make a living, mate. You got to make a living.
And then he, didn't he used to go around like for fun on Saturday mornings and cruise around picking up dead animals?
Crematorium.
I thought you just said for fun, just cruising around or lapping the streets.
So what they do.
Picking up roadkill.
But you'd be like cruising along, you'd keep count, hey?
Yeah, so, I mean, no, we would go to do a run of all the veterinarians, go to their freezer, take out these dead bodies and put them in the back and then, then after they would do about...
You'd be like, Dad, we've got 16 12, cats.
Good.
Yeah.
God.
9 dogs.
Pretty much.
And 4 guinea pigs.
Yeah.
And you just, go home and have a cook-up?
No, like, they'd even do, normal stuff, oh, the bloody hearse is almost out of a waff. Should we go get a waff? And I get a waff of all these dead animals in the boot.
It's pretty crazy to see a hearse driving along full of dead dogs. You're like, what kind of funeral is that?
Yeah.
Who values their pets
Some
that
people
much?
Would value, like, that's the hearse was for that because people wanted a full
Here's the thing,
funeral.
Though.
Wait.
For
people
their dog
use the
cat.
Hearse for a full Correct. Dog funeral.
My father would perform a funeral service for that dog and cat.
If he ever comes back from his new family in Europe, should get him to do one for a listener's pet.
Definitely. Yeah. What a funeral for Smoko, whatever the dog's name is.
We haven't done that yet.
No.
So, JFK's car.
Nice one, Tony.
Hey,
thank you very
stuff,
much.
Good stuff, guys. Peace out.
Thane and Dunks drive home.
The Rock.